Okay, we left off in the previous year. We were talking about whether the Issa Nida is categorized as a Davish of Erva. The issue whether something is a Davish of Erva or not has a lot of potential nafkamines la'alacha. So one of the nafkamines la'alacha, of course, touched on our sugya about one aid versus two aidim. Now, we know for a fact that in Ukhuf Nida, one aid is sufficient. That's obvious. The question is, does that indicate for us that Nida is not considered to be a davish of Erva? That's the approach that Tosfos seems to take. Or do I say no? Maybe Nida is a kosov. Maybe Nida is not a davish of Erva for other reasons. It's not related to marriage. It's just an isurim. So we can't quite tell which direction we're going in, but we do have a question to be shown him whether Nida is part of Arayos. And then the machloek is emanated from how do you define Gili Arayos? Is Gili Arayos defined by what it says in Pashtach Remos? That's how the Rambam says. It's a beer, there's a chorus. That's it. That's a that giveaway that called your eyes. So I say no. That it has to be something which is a relationship type of an issa. Asula Zemutar Slozah. The person can't marry the sister, their mother, the daughter, etc. Those are women who can marry other people but can't marry you. That's what Gilead Rice is all about. Whereas Nida is something that's off limits to the entire world, to our husband. So then that's a different issa. It's a Mr. Courage, but that's not considered to be Gilead Rice. So there is a potential Nafkamino Halacha. An issue that is raised by the Rambam in the sixth of the Marmukamos.
The quarter of a kivo with that holds that Mamzerus is created through
Chabelavim. But even Rabbi Kiva says that's not called Arayas. That's a different Rabbi Kiva has a Chiddush, and even Chabelavim created Mamzerus, but that's not considered to be Arayas. So the Rambam in the sixth of the Marmukamos, back in the page, has a fascinating comment about something that relates to Chosnida that may shed some light on this time. Hamakadesh. If a person is Mekadesh, a woman who is an Erva, the Kedushin are Devar B'Talim. She ain't Kedushin also in the Erva. It's absolutely meaningless. The person gives a ring to his mother, gives a ring to his sister, gives a ring to his aunt. Chutz bin Hanida. The only exception to the Arayas that Kedushin is Tosin is Nida. Now, this is, of course, the Lashon HaRambam that it is an Erva. It's the exception to the rule vis a vis Kedushin. Shemakadish has Nida raised Mekadesh is Kedushin Gemurim. Says the Rambam, a person's Mekadesh and Nida, the Kedushin are Gemurim. It's a Kedushin of full force, full, no question about it. But then the Rambam signs off with four words. The Ein Roi Lasis came. The Rambam writes, it's not right to do that. A person shouldn't be Mekadesh a woman when she is a Nida. Now, truth to be told, we try very hard to avoid having Kedushin with a woman who's a Nida for multiple reasons. One is because of this Rambam, that Lechad Chili, you're not supposed to do it if you can avoid it. Number two, because today we have Kedushin and the Suin all rolled into one, so it creates a very, very difficult situation because part of the Suin is having Yichud, and the woman is a Nida, so they can't have Yichud. So they can't even go home together that night. So it's come to a very, very complicated and uncomfortable kind of situation. So we'll bend over backwards, we'll turn the world upside down to try to avoid what we call today Chuppas Nida. But it happens with all the trials. Sometimes it happens. So we'll go ahead and we will be Mekadesh a woman when she's a Nida, even though the Ram writes anywhere losses came because place where we have no choice. In the olden days, I mean, until like 30 years ago, so it was much more difficult to time this because it was all you know, an educated guess. So usually a couple of months before the wedding, they would try to calculate what the woman's cycle was up to, and then they would hope for the best and try to aim for a good window when they were pretty clear. The problem is, as we know, that the women's cycles are not always 100% reliable, especially when the stress and anticipation of a wedding, sometimes things can go totally off. So you think that you're in a good window, and then last minute turns out to be a chuppas nida. So that's where the Hasidim have the upper hand over us in this one. If you ever noticed, the Hasidim do not tell you the date of a wedding until a couple of weeks before. Not because they don't have a plan. It's not because of laziness. It's because they will not set the date of the wedding until they are really, really sure. As sure as we can be, that it's going to be okay. Over the last 30 years, this has become significantly less of a challenge because of medication. It's simply most callous today, whether it's a good idea medically, bad idea medically, it's a different story. But the facts of the ground. The facts of the ground are that almost probably just about all women who get married today are on some kind of a pill to regulate their cycle. Either some doctors put them on a regular birth control pills for a few months before the wedding to literally get it regulated, There are other daffodils that have a little bit of a different style depending on the woman's needs. Sometimes they'll just put her on something towards the very, very end, close to the wedding. It's not a broken up, it's literally just a progesterone, am I correct? That'll just hold things off for put everything in check, put the whole body in check for a couple of days, a couple of weeks. So whatever the case may be, the din is that you're not supposed to be the Kaddish either. And the question is, why not? What is wrong with the Rambam just said? What is the problem? So the Milchas Chinuch has a fascinating insight into the Rambam, which is a throwback to really what Asher is all about. So remember on Wednesday, we mentioned that according to the view of the Rambam, that Anita is a full-fledged Erva. Why is it that Kiddushin are Tosin? Why, if a person is Mekadosh Anita, why is the Kiddushin take effect? So the Rambam learns that that's a Gzeres HaKosmos. It's a Chinish HaTar. Don't ask any questions. Really, truly, Kiddushin should never have been Tosin with Anita. The Torah said, Fakir. The Torah said that Kiddushin are Tosin, but the Torah never said, you're allowed to do it. Now, what does that mean? Why are you allowed to do it? If it's Tosin, what's the problem? So the Mechas Chinuch makes reference to a Gemara that appears in Maseches Kiddushin. But the Gemara seems to say that, let's say a person takes a ring and he stands under the chuppah with his sister and he says to her, Rebbe Kiddush, so we'll say the guys are not. I'm a sugar. Nothing happened. Zero. No ramifications. The Gemara seems to say that that was an Aveira. That was an Isser. Isha lo sikach. There's an Isser the Kaddish as Arayas. It's a very, very mud the kind of an Isser, very strange kind of an Isser, because nothing happens. It's not effective. So even if you try to do it, you didn't accomplish anything. But it doesn't matter. There's an Isser lechad chila le Kaddish as Erva, and there's a din b'diyevet that Kiddush Ra tells him with an Erva. So it comes to Mechaz Chinuch and says, you could theoretically have one without the other. That just because the Torah is Mechadish to us, that Kedushin of Tosin with a specific Erba, i.e. Anida, the Torah is Mechadish that the Kedushin of Tosin after the fact. But the Torah never taught us that you're allowed to do it. So when a person gives a ring to Anida and he says, Mechadish is like Kedushin of Tosin, they're married, Mechol Dabra, Blishim, so they don't have to get married again, for sure married. But what they did was not right. What they did was an Issa deraisa of being Mechadish as Erba. That's what Mechaz Chinuch says, Pshat, in the Shittas Rambam. So just about everybody disagrees with this Mechaz Chinuch. We don't accept this Mechaz Chinuch halacha for a very, very simple reason. The Rambam writes, Ein ro'i la'asos kein. That is not usually the way you describe an Issa deraisa. An Issa deraisa is usually the osam in haTorah, the Kaddish is Hanida. So everybody else assumed what the Rambam meant is as follows. Of course the Kiddushin atosin, and of course there's no Issa la'kaddish, and hopefully the Rambam Yalav. Nida is not part of the price for the halachas of Kiddushin. So what in the world did the Rambam mean in ro'i la'asos kein? The Magid Mishnah makes reference to a Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon is the source of this rabbi that says, you know what, Ein Ro'i La'Asos Kein, because it's going to be very hard to put the ring on her finger without touching her. That's the whole ring. It's a purely technical, logistical question that technically she's Anita, so you're not really supposed to, be touching Anita. So you try to put a ring on her finger, but it's not going to work. Ein Ro'i La'Asos Kein, that was a whole
Bobish Lucho.
Yeah, okay, in theory, it was probably not an option in 2022. So, that's why today, again, we try to turn the world upside down, that it shouldn't be a condition either for other reasons. If and when we get stuck, so the Masada condition will just simply say to the chassid in a very, very nice, a quiet way. It's like, just when you put the ring, try not to touch it. So be careful. That's right. We're not going to cancel the whole wedding because of this. Ein Ro'i La'Asos Kein. You try to be careful. The post can point out a question, wait a second, forget about him trying not to touch. Isn't there an isser to hand something to a woman she's a nida? One of the hachokos that appears in your day, is that when a woman is a nida, not allowed to hand things one to another. So how's he supposed to?
Well, private, not necessarily, let's say.
We're not married.
Oh, that's the answer the post says. That the isser of hachokos only applied to one's wife. In theory, you're allowed to hand a book to a married woman. You're allowed to hand something to somebody else's wife. You're not supposed to hand something to your own wife. That's a little bit too close for comfort. So the post can say it's kiddushin beyond the one kechet, so to speak. It means you're allowed to put the ring on, and then at that point she's considered married to you. So the only thing the post can raise the question is, what about handing her the ksuba? So we have a minhag under the chuppah that the chassid hands the ksuba over to the wife. So someone argued that he definitely shouldn't do. Finagling something, hands it to the rabbi. The rabbi, you figure out how to do it for those who are machmer on that. But the ring itself, so the oil is made of that, just put the ring on, just try to be careful not to touch. That's all. Anyway, so back to our story in terms of whether Nida is considered to be an erva or not. So my nafka being Ladina, whether she's an Eved, at the end of the day, Erecher is believed. She's believed to say that she's not a Nida, she is a Nida. At the end of the day, Kiddushin Atosu with a Nida. So this is a very theoretical, academic, like it's who cares whether she's an Eved or not. So the Chora, it should be a big nafka being Ladina. In the following area of Halacha, we know that, as a general rule, there's a principle called Pikuach Nefesh, that a person is allowed to Michal Shabbos, like Yom Kippur, allowed to Treif, in order that there's any risk, any danger to life whatsoever, with the exception of three surim. One is Avod Zorah, one is Gili Arayis, and one is Shechus about murder. One's not allowed to be involved in any one of those three Averos, even at the expense of one's own life. One could raise the following, Halom the Shechayla. We know that Gili Arayis, or Yehoi B'Yavon, is the violation of need, Yehoi B'Yavon. The person has to choose between violating his Nida or potentially losing his life. Is Nida up there? It's interesting. Shabbos is not up there. Shabbos is not Yehoi B'Yavon. Eating on Yom Kippur is not Yehoi B'Yavon. Eating Chametz Pesach is not Yehoi B'Yavon. But Gili Arayis is Nida subsumed under that category as well. So it would appear that should depend on the Machlokes in the Rambam. And according to Tosus in our Sugyan days, that Nida is not an Erev. Lo Chashiva Dov Shiva finish. So it's an Isra Chomer B'Yoser. It's not Mechomet and Shabbos. It's an Isra Chomer B'Yoser. It's on par with Chomet. It's on Pesach. Eating on Yom Kippur. They're Isra Karas. Isra Karas. Not necessarily. Yehoi B'Yavon. Mashiachin, according to the Rambam, who stuck Nida into the category of Arayis, because according to the Rambam, if it's on the list of Bashtach Rimos, then it's an Erva, then Nida, L'chora, should be Yehoi B'Yavon. So where would we look to find the answer to this question? But the Shiloh's a crazy Shiloh, has the Shiloh. So the dramatic Shiloh of somebody putting a gun to your head and telling you to violate Luchos Nida, that doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, but a much more subtle potential application applies in Shulchan Aruch, and that's as follows. There is a halacha that governs Yehoi B'Yavon. We spoke about this last year in the Sanhedrin Shurim and in the Shul on Tuesday nights. There's a halacha that governs Yehoi B'Yavon that Yehoi B'Yavon doesn't only apply to the Isser proper. It applies to anything that's subsumed under the category of that Isser. So let's say you have something which is what we call Abizrayim. It smacks a little bit of a Vodazar. It's not literally a guy bowing down to an idol, but it's a mashu, it's a tipa minayam of Vodazar. Something is not outright Gili Arayis, but it's for the parish of Gili Arayis. So those kinds of activities will also be Yehoi B'Yavon. So now the question becomes, what if one of those kinds of activities raises a question in terms of Luchos Nida? Would we say the fundamental question is Nida Ne'er, but not Ne'er, according to the Rambam, yet according to the Tosfos, no. So the Shulchan Aruch in the seventh of the Rambam Kabbalos raises a question about if a husband is a doctor, his wife is ill, how much can he take care of her when she is a Nida? So taking care of her is going to involve.
Grandkids in Israel.
Oh, did you want to do the shiur?
Sorry. No comments in it.
Okay. Sorry, don't worry. We stopped for a minute. Don't worry. You didn't miss anything. Okay. So what would that look like in the following case? The wife is in need. The husband is the doctor. And she has some kind of a medical need. And the medical need is going to involve violating her chuppah. You have to touch this and handle her. So what is the name? So the Shulchan Aruch in the seventh of the Maamar Kamos, Shulchan Aruch writes, if the husband is a doctor, he is not permitted to, it's a very vague phrase, Lamashla Defek. Defek is today we refer to it as the pulse. And whether or not that's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch was talking about, or whether he was talking about just simply, you know, feeling and seeing and making sure breathing is right, I cannot tell you what medicine exactly was like in the early 1500s in the days of the Shulchan Aruch. I can tell you that circulation was not officially discovered to exist until a little bit later. So whatever exactly Shulchan Aruch is referring to, the husband should not be doing that. The Ramah immediately disagrees, and we pass in Halacha like the Ramah. So the Ramah says, no. The Ramah says is that if there's no other doctor available and she really needs him, and there's an issue of a potential sakana. So the Rambam says that the doctor, the husband, is allowed to take care of her. So halacha l'maisa, we're very, very makel on a lot of these kinds of shailas. But the Shulchan Aruch, the starting point is that the doctor should not be taking care of his wife. So the shach. Oh, so that's what we're going to see in a second. So the shach, in the eighth of the Maramakomos, quotes a comment from the Beis Yosef, again, the Shulchan Aruch himself, and the Sefer Beis Yosef. But the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, throws out a possibility. I didn't say possibility in the way that in the world of Phil Lumdus, he throws out a possibility, which we don't accept halacha. Go on record before we even start, we don't accept halacha. But for our purposes, it becomes critical. So Omiel says the Shach, quoting from the Beis Yosef, "Imachol mesukan, if the person is really sick, the Ein Sham Rof, might say nobody else. The only doctor around is the husband. It would appear for the Tshuva Saramban, it happened to be a little bit of a correction here. It's not the Tshuva Saramban, it's not the Tshuva Sarashba. There were a couple hundred Tshuvas that for hundreds of years were mistakenly thought that they were written by the Ramban. They realized later they were from a different batch of Tshuvas. They're actually the Rashba. It doesn't make that much of a difference, the Ramban and the Rashba, from one generation apart. But just for the truth, for the record, it was the Tshuva Sarashba. So there's a Tshuva, the Rashba, that says that this whole discussion, can the husband take care of his wife? That's if there's no pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, would anybody ever say that pikuach nefesh, when the husband can't treat his wife, if a wife is in danger, would anybody ever say such a thing? So let's skip to the end of the line. Beis Yosef says, maybe I would say such a thing. Allah Rambam, the Negias Erev Asurim in HaTorah, Ava B'sheish pikuach nefesh, Efshad the Asurim Rabbi Yisrael, the Gila Reis, and Tzachir, Akam Loshi Mitzvah. So Beis Yosef says that which the Rashba says in the Tshuva, it's inconceivable that anybody should ever say that the husband can't take care of his wife when she's deathly ill. Beis Yosef says, I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but I'm saying that it's not totally inconceivable. And the Beis Yosef makes reference to the Shittas Rambam, where there is a big machlokes in answer to your question on the Harchokos D'Oraisa. The answer is depends which hachokas we're talking about. Hachokas of passing the salt are under the rabbanon, that's for sure. Hachokas of eating at the same table under the rabbanon. But hachokas of touching one another, let's say physical contact of one another between a man and a woman, which is a nida, that's a big machlokas. The Rambam's opinion is that is their right. So the Rambam learns that's what the pasuk means, though sikuvu legalos erva. It says in the parsha of Arayas that you're not supposed to come close to giving Arayas. The Rambam understood that to mean any activity that leads the degularize, it's not degularize proper, but it's going to lead potentially down the line, that is also the Torah. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that's not what the Pasuk means. But Sikh Vilagalis never means don't have degularize proper. All any activities before, kissing any physical affection activity before, is at worst only the Rabban, according to the view of the Ramban. So, getting back to the story. So comes the Beis Yosef and says, we start connecting the dots. According to the Rambam, who says that contact, physical contact, is deraisa? Wait a second, it's deraisa. And maybe it's Abizrael to give the arayas, because remember the Rambam holds that a nida is an erva. So if you put two together, it should be herba yavar. A new story says, Sufik in the Beis Yosef. Maybe it's herba yavar. So comes the Shach and says, forget it. The whole thing is not true. The Chilur itself is not true. We do not pass. Beis Yosef himself didn't pass, like what he said. He just threw it out as a question. So comes the Shach and says, this is absolutely not true. Let's pick up the fourth line. The Emira, middle fourth line. The Vade Afla Rabbam Leke Isu Deraisa L'Kshaosike Derech Taiva V'chibas Bia. Says the Shach, even the Rabbam who said that physical contact is Deraisa, it doesn't mean a doctor taking pulse. It doesn't mean somebody doing a CPR. What it means is a chibuk, the nishuk, the chayva acts that are preparatory for bia. Those are considered to be also in the Torah according to the Shittas Rambam. Mashen ken hocha says the shach. He says the husband's taking care of his wife lying in the bed dying, he's taking care of her. That's not their chiba, and therefore that's for sure not their aisa. And now the shach has a fascinating proof. V'chein haminik parshut. He says that everybody knows this is the common practice. Who's the common practice? Sharo from Yisraelim. He said, there are no Jewish doctors. There are no Jewish male doctors. They don't take care of women patients. He says they take care of women patients. They touch all around the women's bodies. Even though afilu eshazish, the woman's married. Oh, that is non-Jewish women. Even though there are other doctors around. He said, we never heard the Shach in the 1500s in Poland, 1600s in Poland. We never heard that Jewish doctors can't take care of women patients.
So the question was his wife.
So the question is, but if we're dealing with the Issa D'Oraisa of Losikru Galas Erva, that applies to somebody else's wife also. You're only talking about the friendship between one's wife and somebody else's wife. That's what we're dealing with, the handing of the keys, that kind of stuff that we're afraid is going to lead, one thing to lead to another. But when you're talking about literally touching, so that's all arise on equal footing. The chain osin shan mini mishmushim, and doctors do all kind of other physical contact. Apidach erfua, ela dava poshut kemoshik asafti. As the shach, it's a dava poshut. That what I'm saying is correct, and that's how we pass it today. It's a dava poshut. The same way that we permit doctors to take care of women patients, we assume against this business. So even though halacha, we would accept, we would permit, again, under unique circumstances of husbands to take care of wives, if it's medically necessary. But the ikaron, the issue that the Beis Yosef raised, is more important for our sugya. Namely, the Beis Yosef is looking at need the three harba yavar. Now, maybe his extension to all these kinds of, taking pulse was, we don't follow that. But the fundamental premise may be correct. That is reflection of Shita Rambam. That nida is Yehar B'Yavar, because nida is considered to be an erva.
So the person is this crazy situation where a guy puts going to say, right, when his wife's a nida, and says, be
right,
all with her.
Right. So according to that, that sounds like the Shachta Noyim that the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef said that, and the Rambam says that. Tosfos didn't say that. The Tam didn't say that. You want to know how would I pass it on the Sof and Yehar B'Yavar? That's too complicated. I tell you to ask me about the Tam, not to ask it. I don't know, whatever we'd say. But yeah, according to the Rambam, the Ikaron, it's Yehar B'Yavar, right? That's what the Rambam says. It's no different than if they say, be Mazana with your sister, be Mazana with your mother, right? According to the Rambam, it's no different. According to Tosfos, again, the base would be different. So again, this machlokes that we had, it's a very academic machlokes, began to potentially play out with practical ramifications. So the Shach knocked out all the practical ramifications. That's not the whole thing, is not true, because all the Shlomo the Achib and the whole thing is irrelevant. But the Ikaron, the Machlokes, is still fundamentally there, is Nida considered to be Gilei Raisa?
And then if it is, then Abizrog the Nida.
Right. Again, if and when, that would be true. Right. So are there any other Nafkaminas? I mean, we are really searching, we're scraping the barrel for Nafkaminas in terms of the Shaila, whether Nida is an error, because in terms of the practical hilchos nida, it's not really relevant. In terms of is an eid echad believed, so everybody agrees with the woman's belief. It's not a real dove, should be out for those purposes. Are kiddushin tosfos a nida? Of course, the answer is yes. So is mamzerus from a nida? The answer is of course no. So what's left? So we'd have the three day academic discussion. Is there any ramifications? Any nafkamina nida? So this question, whether a nida is an erva, if you think about it, it's not really Hilchos Nida question. It's really Hilchos Erva question. It's really that fundamental machlokes that is in the Rambam. What are the characteristics that define Erva? According to the Rambam, it's a very, very simple, straight equation. It's a Bia with an Issachoris. If it has those two conditions, the game's over. According to the Rambam, it's much more than that. It has to be a relationship type in Issachoris, etc. That model could potentially spill over to other applications as well. There may be other Issure Bia out there that may also fall between the cracks, that it may not be Asulazem with Arzulazem. On the other hand, it may be in a Sabir with an Issacharis. So you could potentially have somewhere that's right smack in the middle that may also be a reflection of that Machlokes being Tosfos and Rambam. So the Nida case per se, well, that all four of an afternoon is kind of fell by the wayside. But the principle behind Machlokes and Rambam now has to be extrapolated to other scenarios. So do we have other kind of scenarios? So we'll give a little bit of a background. That's something we talked a little bit about the other day. A little bit of a background. We'll get to the punchline. I won't get to the punchline until next week, but at least we'll try to get the background in a little bit now. There was an issue that was a very, very difficult issue in the days, in the Middle Ages, in the days of Rishon. It was a tragedy that could sometimes unfold. And unfortunately, just the way the dynamics of the Middle Ages were, it was a tragedy that unfolded more than once. That, generally speaking, chalitza was much more prevalent in the Middle Ages than it is today. Very, very simple reason. The lifespan of a person was about 30 years old, life expectancy in the Middle Ages. People didn't live all that long. And there were wars, and there were crusades, and there were pogroms, and there were attacks, and all kind of things that contributed to Nebuch people dying and getting killed at a fairly young ages. And therefore, just do the math, when you have a couple just got married and she didn't have a child yet. And the husband died in a plague, he died in a crusade, he got killed, whatever it was. So all of a sudden, this woman's going to fall for chalitza. So the numbers of chalitza done in the Middle Ages were, again, proportionally to the Jewish community, was significantly higher than this man has said. chalitza is the only mitzvah in the Torah that we do, that we have a special tefillah that was composed when we do a chalitza, that yehi ratzon shelo, that we should never do this mitzvah again. All other mitzvahs we do, we say, mate, when we finish the sukkah, yehi ratzon, we should come back again next year. The only tefillah that says, yehi ratzon shelo, tavon benos yisrael day chalitza, because it's a tragedy coming to chalitza. But again, it's very, very rare, just as a reference point. So I've seen in my lifetime three chalitzas. And two out of those chalitzas were Nebuch at the same time, following September 11th. They were two, because a crazy situation. So chalitza very, very rare. But in the Middle Ages, sometimes the chalitza became even more complicated because you had to track down the brother. That wasn't always so easy. You know, today, any place in the world is a flight away. Whereas in the olden days, the one brother who's around lives 50 miles away. That can mean a tremendous problem. What can make matters even worse is that we know that, tragically, in the Middle Ages, there were a lot of times the Jewish community was given the terrible choice of either to be baptized or to be killed. And Nebuch, unfortunately, some people succumbed to the trial. So you had situations where you had people who were Jewish, they were halachically Jewish, and they never practicing good, practicing Christians. And sometimes you had it that the person was kind of happy about that. He accepted that choice fairly willingly, and he was more than happy to live as a Christian. So more than once, you had the following situation, where a young woman's husband would die, and there was one remaining brother, and the one remaining biological brother was basically living as a goy. He was a practicing Christian. He could have been the priest in town. He could have been one of that. And now, the woman's mamash in a pickle, because halachically, she's what's called zakuka liyibum. She requires a chalitza. Otherwise, she can never remarry. She's a young girl. She can never remarry until she gets chalitza from this guy. This guy, he's not particularly interested in giving her a chalitza. That's what I've had to do with the Jewish community. He's a guy. He's practicing as a Christian. So what do you do? So one can imagine that this could be a very, very difficult situation. Of course, one way out is always a kesef yanis. They're called a little greasing the wheels a little bit can sometimes do the trick, but not always. Sometimes if a guy's a mishitanik, he doesn't want anything with the Jews. He's the mishumad. So it's not always so simple. So the mishonim already, the onim already repose with discretion. Is there any eitzah for this woman? Is there any suggestion that perhaps that there's no requirement for chalitza altogether? And that's a very, very loaded question. How do you do that? I mean, Lamaisa, he's the brother. So there was one opinion in Gaonim that we don't generally accept the halacha. There was one opinion in Gaonim that said that it could be that once he accepts another religion, he basically ceases to be Jewish, that he lost his condition to Israel. And if that's true, that he ceases to be Jewish, now obviously there's no chalitza, there's no brother. So that view was not really accepted la halacha. So was there any other eitzah to come up with? So he had one or two different suggestions. And there was one suggestion that was given. A fascinating suggestion was given by a man by the name of Avram HaGadol. I can't tell you much about him, except it must have been a big Gadol. He was known as. He came from the city of Regensburg in Germany. It's Avram Regensburg, and they used to call him Avram HaGadol. Avram HaGadol came up with the following phenomenal chiddush. We mentioned last week that there was a halacha that if a woman's husband dies and she falls for Yibum, falls for Chalitza, to a man who is an Erva, the relationship of a rice, and she falls to her own father. She falls to her own, whatever the case may be. She falls to a situation where the Pasha Zachimbo says, you can't do Yibum. So the Torah says that there's Ozika. Then she gets free the first mission. Yibum says that there's B'mokha Erva, Pturos B'nei Yibum, and a Chalitza. That's it. There's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza. So comes to Rama Golan and says, so let's analyze this for a second. This nice, from girl, Rachel, she falls for Yibum, Chalitza, to who? To the Meshumah, as he's the only brother around. So you're going to tell me that, oh, sure, they should get married. They should have Yibum, right? To marry a Meshumah, to marry an Obed of the Zara, is that permissible? So, now, it's a far cry to say, just because it's not permissible, to say that's Gilead Arias. You got a lot of work to do. But if you can somehow, some way, finagle a way to tell me that the relationship of such a marriage would fall into the category of quote-unquote Parshat Remos, and we could somehow figure out an Eitzah Kunz to call this an act of Gilead Arias, then we can plug in the first mission of the second Yevamos and say, oh, you're Pturos from Yibum because it's Gilead Arias. Then you're nailed the corollary is Pturos from Chalitza also, and then there's no Zika, and then the woman can marry whoever she pleases. So that's quite a challenge.
Yeah, right. Put down in the reference to the man to a woman, not a woman.
Oh, so we have a lot of problems. We want to know, is that relationship lo yitzuyu? Well, we're going to encourage this relationship of Rachel to marry the Meshumad. Could that, in any stretch of our imagination, be called an act of Gilui Arayos? If it can be, then we're home free. Then we plug in the first mission that Beis Yevamos and call it a day, and the woman goes scot free. If for some reason we say, what? We're not happy. This is not number one shidduch prospect against the Meshumad, but that's a far cry to say that it's Gilui Arayos. So what in the world would ever make us dream? What does that do, Pasha Chemos? What does that do, Gilui Arayos?
The person has a disability. She's patur from chalitza.
No. She's chayav to chalitza. No.
A disability that mental is.
And that's a big problem. The shaita, there would be a chizik. Yeah. There is a zika. There would be a zika. That would be a disaster. Right? That would be a very, very serious issue. Yeah. So what, if any, solution to this problem is? So Rabbi Magal worked very, very hard to try to come up with a very creative solution as to why this should fall into a quasi-Gilui Arayos category. So suffice it to say that it was a controversial solution, but we're going to see from Hashem next week how the solution of Rabbi Magal was very much in sync with the Shittas HaRambam. It was not in line with the Shittas HaTosfos. It was much closer to the view of the Rambam in this topic of Gilui Arayos. So Hashem on Tuesday, we'll try to finish up this part of the sermon.
It's almost like it's a shatat chak.